The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. On this episode, we are going to talk about the Astros and Rangers games 3 and 4 in Arlington. And by we, I mean Jeff Balke, co-host of Believe in Astros with, who is it? What's that partner you have? I think some people might know him.
Jeffrey Blumster.
Oh, yeah.
The man, the myth, the legend, the meatloaf.
All right, so going into these games, I can't remember where I saw it, but you know how you try to look up scenarios? And I could have swore that I read this, that no team has ever come back losing the first two games at home in a 7-game series, ever. And I think Red Sox, you know, they were down 3-0, mm-hmm. but they didn't lose right. the first two games at home. So it's never happened before.
That is an interesting stat. I had not read that, but it doesn't really surprise me. I mean, you know, home field advantage is supposed to mean something. Although I'll say, and you know, in this postseason, that's been turned on its head a little bit. We've had a lot of teams winning on the road, and in years past, now in the most recent years, home field advantage doesn't, I don't think it means as much, and it certainly doesn't mean anything to the Astros when they have to play in Arlington. They may as well just move to Arlington. I mean, my goodness. And by the way, when I was in Arlington earlier this year, at least half the fans in the stadium were Astros fans.
Wow.
So, it's a pretty cozy confines, I think, for the Astros. And so them coming back doesn't really surprise me. Now, whether they win the series or not, it's a different deal.
All right. So the Astros lose game 1 and 2 with our best pitchers. Game 1 was only 2-0. I think JV pitched well enough for us to win, but for some reason, the Astros just can't score at home. And my memory has been erased. I don't even remember what happened in game 2. I know we lost, but I don't remember what happened.
It was Fromber. You know, he gave up 4 runs early, just a bad kind of outing for him. You know, I've said really since the beginning of this, I've written about this as well. To me, this whole series boils down to the Astros bats versus the Rangers bullpen and the Rangers bats versus the Astros starters. If the Astros starters can play well and the Astros bats can do what they need to do against a weak Rangers bullpen, the Astros are going to win. I think that certainly played out the last couple of games where they got to Scherzer early. And then of course, Andrew Heaney had 0 chance against the Astros last night. But when you look at the first two games, they basically, you saw that JV had a pretty good game, but the Astros couldn't do anything against the Rangers bullpen.
I was going to try to buy tickets to that game, and I was so glad I didn't. I would be so frustrated to drive from San Antonio and spend a lot of money just to see that. I don't mind if they lose, but to not even score, that would be pretty frustrating.
It was tough. It was definitely tough. And I think that you know, for the Astros, they have got to get to the Rangers bullpen, and then they've got to score on them. That's really the key. Jordan Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi are both excellent pitchers, but the Astros should be able to get to them, particularly Eovaldi, because they've hit pretty well against him. And then certainly Scherzer, they've hit really well against him. So if they can get to those guys a little bit and get to the bullpen, that's where the keys to winning for them really are.
Yeah, it seems like they did pretty well against Eovaldi. But let's look at this game. CJ, who's had a pretty down year, he had very high expectations But in the playoffs, he's been really good. The Astros showed up. They put Mad Max in for Texas, who hasn't pitched in forever. And I kind of thought that was kind of a stretch maybe, and he didn't last long. The bases were loaded, and he threw a wild pitch, 1-0. And then my boy, Martin Maldonado, who didn't do anything, just like anyone else in Houston, drives in two runs, and the Astros are up 3-0. Altuve had a home run in the third, 4-0, and Dubon RBI single. Abreu scored. We're up 5-0. What do you think about Dubon? They moved him up in the batting order, and he's been delivering.
Yeah, well, they moved him up against lefties. And so that's, I think that was a smart move, putting him there against lefties. The thing about Dubon is he's just a really good, solid hitter. You know, he's not spectacular. He's not going to, you know, blow anything away. He's going to take the pitches that are given to him. And, when you're throwing him hard and away, he's going to take that pitch and just slap it out there into right field. He's sort of like the Astros' current version of Tony Kemp, only with better, with a better batting average. Yeah. And I like moving Dubon in there. I think that was a really smart move. And in terms of Javier's been really good the last month, even in his last couple of starts before the postseason, he's been really good. And, I think there are some mechanical adjustments they made, a couple of little small things. I also think he just got over his dead arm. I think he had some dead arm issues middle of the season. And, the other night on the broadcast, you had Smoltz explaining that you can get dead arm and still feel really good and you just can't pitch, and I think that's probably what happened to him. And he's been great. Honestly, could be your game 7 starter if it goes to that.
I like having Smoltz on the broadcast because he gets on him. He's like, why would you throw that pitch? This is the pitch you should throw. And it's kind of like Tony Romo of baseball.
Right. He's the one guy on there that I can kind of stomach. Everybody else, I'm just like, come on, just let's move on.
So Jung had a 2-run homer, made it 5-2. Yordan drove in 7-2. And then Jung had another 2-run homer. This guy's a stud. He's a young kid, 7-4. Rookie. They made it a little bit closer, but Pena added a run. Garcia had an RBI single, 8-5. They fought back from 5-0, but not enough. Javier, 5 2/3, 3 hits and 2 runs, only 1 walk. He's 2-0 in the playoffs. Great job. Neris came in. I didn't expect this to happen, but he gave up a 2-run bomb. He can't be perfect forever. I think Neris has been amazing. Abreu even gave up a run, and then Presley picks up save number 3. So overall, pretty good pitching. It's a good day for the bullpen to give up runs if the Astros are going to score 8 runs.
Yeah, look, the bullpen, if you give Hector Neris, Brian Abreu and Ryan Presley, if you give them a 4 or 5 run lead, it's going to be very difficult to come back against them. Yeah. They're rested for tonight's game. The Astros, look, that's a shutdown 7, 8, 9 guys for them. And sometimes a little bit longer for Neris or for Abreu. I thought Neris, he's had a couple of weird games. Both of those, I think Neris just gave up. He just threw a bad pitch. In terms of Abreu, it was just a single through the through the right side of the infield after a guy got on. Neither of them pitched poorly.
Yeah,
and so I just don't imagine they're gonna pitch poorly again. So those guys are really good. As long as you can really, Christian Javier extended that start as long as he could. He started to show some signs of fatigue as he got into the fifth inning there and up into the 80s with his pitch count. But look, if you can get five and two thirds innings from any of the starters for the Astros, you're golden because you've got a 7, 8, 9 guys in your bullpen that can really shut it down. And frankly, given how well Maton has pitched lately, you really have a 6, 7, 8, 9 setup in your bullpen. That's something that the Rangers, they just don't have the benefit of that.
Yeah, the Astros bullpen gave up 0 runs in Houston in the first 2 games. So
yeah, I think they had given up 0 runs in it would have been a while. So yeah. I think Abreu hadn't given up a run, I thought, on the
July 15th or something.
Yeah, July 13th, I think, was the last time he had given up a run, which is insane.
Altuve, who was hitless in Houston, 2-for-5, scored twice. Kyle Tucker, who's been struggling, actually went 1-for-2, and he walked 3 times and scored. The Astros, 8 runs on 12 hits, 5-for-12 runners in scoring position, and they left 7 on base. I think game 4, they broke some kind of record with runners in scoring position, and we'll get to that. Right. And game 4, Jose Urquidy, this guy was injured along with Luis Garcia. He makes it back. He pitches in the minor leagues for a little while, and he's getting kind of beat up. He comes here and kind of gets lost. And then at the end, I was like, you know, J.P. France, Hunter Brown, it looks like they're running out of gas. It's about to be playoff time. How about Jose Urquidy? And he's delivered.
Yeah, he has. And he didn't have a great outing. I think he only went like 2 2/3 or something. But he's pitching against Andrew Heaney, a guy who the Astros have just manhandled in the past. Heaney only made it 2/3 of an inning and just got run. I mean, I think the Astros had 3 guys on base in the first 10 pitches or something crazy like that.
They batted around.
Yeah, that first inning, they were just really, really good. I think when you look at a guy like Urquidy, main thing for him is you just want him to eat a few innings. You don't need him to be perfect. You just want him to be good enough to sort of hold things down for a little while. And I think he started running. I think his biggest problem really was he just couldn't command the strike zone. And with the Rangers, you know, they're such a good team offensively. You have to throw in the zone, but you've got to be super careful about how you throw in the zone. And so Christian Javier was great because he was dropping in curveballs right across the middle, right after he's throwing the invisible, that high fastball. So he was changing their eye level, changing speeds. Urquidy just couldn't quite pull that together. His breaking pitch wasn't great, and that's kind of his bread and butter. So I think it was just a tough outing for him. But again, the bullpen, look, Hunter Brown comes in 3 innings, yeah. Was spectacular in relief. Just a really great outing from the bullpen. And again, comparing these two bullpens, there's no comparison. The Rangers have a terrible bullpen, and the Astros have a really good one. And that was a huge factor last night.
Yeah, you talked about the first inning. Altuve and Dubon both got on. And then Bregman had a 2-run triple. And then Alvarez came up and knocked him in. Everybody got up to bat. And Maldi had the bases loaded, I believe, and struck out.
Right.
But like you said, Urquidy gave up a home run to Garcia. And Jung drove in one. And then Seager had a home run. We're tied at 3-3. And then the Astros handed over to the bullpen. But Yordan, they speak so highly of him on the broadcast. He brought in Maldi, Abreu. Abreu had a 3-run homer. I do a TikTok page, and the Texas Ranger fans were just, we're going to win. We're going to sweep you. And now it's, look at all the pine tar on Jose Abreu's hard hat. I call it a hard hat because of work. His batting helmet. I mean, it seems like the fans are starting to stress a little bit from Arlington.
Well, look, Jose Abreu, I said it on my podcast today, he's the second best Astro in the postseason. I mean, right now, Jose Abreu has 4 home runs and Yordan Alvarez has 6, right? So they're the two best players on the team right now in terms of at the bat. And by the way, Jose Abreu is playing a very competent first base as well. He's been very good defensively and also had a stolen base last night. His first stolen base in 2 years. Yeah. Like, what the hell has happened? But yeah, between he and Yordan, there really have been the power bats. Kyle Tucker still really struggling at the plate. So these guys are your power bats out there. And Yordan, I'm completely confounded as to why anybody would try to bring in a lefty against him.
Like, and they keep doing it.
Over and over, and it happened. They saw what happened against the Mariners. They saw what happened against the Phillies. Ken Rosenthal for The Athletic did a story today about how Yordan is 6-for-9 against their lefty relievers in this series. Like, stop. Like, or no, actually, let me take that back.
Yeah,
please
keep going.
Continue doing it because the guy is just raking. And he's one of the best players in baseball. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. That's just the thing.
Yeah.
And so between he and Jose Abreu, that they've been doing really well. I saw some positive signs from Bregman, which was good. He hit that triple, and he's starting to come around. The top of their lineup, you know, 1 through 5 yesterday was spectacular. And that's really, you want to keep seeing that.
So after a Braves 3-run homer, we're up 7-3. Chaz added 2 more with a 2-run homer, 9-3. And then Yordan, of course, brings in another run, and we went 10-3. So much offense. Altuve went 3-for-4. He scored 3 times. Dubon 2-for-5. He scored twice. Bregman drove in 2. Yordan drove in 3. Abreu drove in 3. Kyle Tucker, I can't explain it. This guy was the RBI leader in the American League. 0-for-5. Chaz drove in 2. Pena 1-for-4. Maldi 0-for-4. He walked in a run. Mm-hmm. The Astros 10 runs on 11 hits. And this is what I meant. They spoke about this. 8 hits with runners in scoring position was some kind of record, I guess. 8-for-16. Wow. They left 8 on base. Great offensive output by the Astros. You got to love that.
I think, you know, first of all, they clearly love hitting in Arlington for whatever reason. But I'll tell you, the thing that's really – this is the thing the Astros did so well last night. And I mentioned this on my podcast today. They did what the quintessential Astros have been doing for years now. They have great at-bats. They extend at-bats as long as they need to. They don't swing at bad pitches, yet they don't strike out that much. I mean, they did all of the things that they normally do. They put lots and lots of pressure. The whole mentality of the Astros is like, listen, we're not going to swing at a pitch we can't hit, even if that means that, that pitch might be a strike. We're not going, we're going to put pressure on you by getting on base by whatever means necessary. If that's an infield hit, if that's a walk, if that's a triple, doesn't matter. We're going to do whatever we can to get on base and put pressure on the other team's defense and pitching to do what they have to do to make the big plays. And they did that in game 4 just repeatedly over and over and over again. And I think they're, you know, the Rangers bullpen was just helpless against it.
Urquidy, like you said, 2 1/3 inning, 5 hits and 3 runs. But Stanek finished the third. Hunter Brown, 3 scoreless. Maton, 2 scoreless. And Montero, a scoreless inning. 6 2/3 scoreless innings by our bullpen, which is definitely a strength.
Just unbelievable. You know, Phil Maton, I always call him the serial killer because he always looks like he's so stone-faced. I've really been impressed with his outings lately. You know, he was great the beginning of the season. Then he had that huge dip. He obviously was a little injured. But he's really come back strong, and he looks good. I was so impressed with seeing Hunter Brown go out there and give 3 innings. this is a team that, from a bullpen standpoint, they're one of the best bullpens in baseball. And we saw that on full display last night. Even it's not Ryan, it's Ryan Stanek last night coming in there. And one pitch, double play. That's it. And he ends up getting the win. Like, unbelievable. Throws a pitch, gets a double play, gets the win. Easiest outing of his life.
It's crazy. So the series is tied 2-2. Today is the rematch of Game 1, JV versus Jordan Montgomery. The game is at 4:07. And I wanted to give a shout-out here. It is also Evelyn Centeno's birthday. That's my friend Frank's wife. So happy birthday, Evelyn.
Happy birthday, Evelyn. Maybe you can go out today and get yourself a Whataburger honey butter chicken biscuit.
Is that what you're wearing?
Yeah. So I got this. The Corpus Christi Hooks were selling these. I love it. They're like, you know, it's like a Whataburger.
Yeah. They wear them on Wednesdays, I think.
Yeah. And I just a shout out for those guys. I don't know any of them. I've never even seen a Hooks game before, but their social media is ridiculous. The CC Hooks Twitter/X feed. They're acting like the Hooks are actually playing in the ALCS.
Wow.
It's fantastic. And so, yeah, I broke out the old honey butter chicken biscuit hat for today because of that.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so JV's 1-1 in the playoffs with a 1.42 ERA, and Jordan Montgomery's 2-0 with a 2.08 ERA. So like I said earlier, JV definitely pitched well enough to get the Astros a win, but can the Astros take advantage of Jordan Montgomery? Can they do anything against him? What, and why is this guy so good?
Well, he's very, very good, very underrated, mixes up his pitches really well. He gets a lot of swings and misses. I think the thing with the Astros, again, this is another thing that they've done well throughout their tenure as in the golden age of Astros baseball. They've seen Jordan Montgomery. This will be their fourth time, at their fourth at bat, fifth at bat, sixth at bat, possibly against Jordan Montgomery. The more at bats they put on a guy, the better the Astros get, the better their game plan is. Honestly, I don't think they had seen that much of Jordan Montgomery coming into game one. So now they've seen a lot. And I think their game plan coming out against him will be different. I think that they will game plan for him as best they possibly can. I think the big key is, can JV settle down? Can he get through innings one and two without too much damage and sort of settle into that groove? Because once JV gets into a groove, he's very difficult to hit. And then I think from the other side, can the Astros ding Jordan, you know, Montgomery a little bit? Can they get to him? Can they elevate his pitch count? So instead of going six innings or whatever, six innings plus, they can get him out of there in four or five, and get to that bullpen again, which has got to be exhausted at this point for the Rangers. So I think those are really the big keys for me this afternoon is, can they just get Montgomery out of the game sooner rather than later? And can JV just hold on and sort of get into that groove?
I think the Astros have the momentum right now. I think
definitely
it's kind of weird to watch the Astros. They lose the first two games and they're just going about their business like it was no big deal. And even me, you know, I'm getting harassed at work. It's 2-0. The Rangers are going to sweep. I'm like, I'm not worried about it. Like, it's the Astros. They're the road warriors. I'm not worried about it. And I really think they're going to win today.
Well, it's shades of what? The 2019 World Series, right? Against Washington, where the home team lost every game.
Yeah.
Right? And they went to seven. I wouldn't shock me.
I called in sick on game six. I'm like, no way they're going to lose at home again. And they lost. Game seven, no way they're going to lose every game at home. And they lost.
I think everybody called in sick after game seven. when Gerrit Cole got pulled, I think everybody called in sick after that. But, you know, I think that the Astros have, they just have this innate ability. Well, and also the experience. Look, let's be honest. There's no team that came into this postseason with more experience in the postseason than the Astros. I mean, they have, like, between their players, I mean, they have hundreds of games of experience in the postseason, and that matters. You know, that makes a difference. And I think
Altuve got his 100th postseason game yesterday.
Exactly. I mean, these guys,
100.
That's incredible.
That's like almost a whole season.
Considering he's not 40, you know, or whatever. I mean, so yeah, I think the experience is a big deal for them. I don't think they get rattled. You know, years ago, I remember during the Houston Rockets' second championship when they were playing in Orlando and they were down in game one. And I think it was I'm trying to remember who the sideline reporter was, but they said that they went to both sideline reporters. And when they went to the Rockets, they said, what was the talk and the, you know, when they were down, it was like the end of the game. And the Orlando guys were like, well, we need to do this. And we need to, they're very animated. They went to the Rockets huddle and the Rockets were just like, oh yeah, that's fine. Let's do this. They were just completely calm, just super at ease. That is what the Astros feel like to me now. Yep. They feel like this team that just goes in, they're like, okay, we got to go out and win one. You saw Altuve in the post game yesterday. Like, hey, it's not over yet. Everybody's like, well, you know, you got the momentum. Now we got another game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's just how they do it. And it's, They're hard to kill. They're just very, very hard to kill.
Yeah, so coming up is Jordan Montgomery and Eovaldi, and then the Astros have JV and Framber. Yep. All we need is one good game by either one of these guys.
Agreed.
But if we can win today, game six is Sunday, and it'll be Framber. And this is a guy who's thrown a no-hitter. This is also a guy that got roughed up in game one. But let's take a look real quick at the National League side. Arizona, wild, who shockingly is even there. Philly is it's exact opposite. Every home team has won each game. Philly won 5-3 at home. Then they won 10-0 at home. And then Arizona won last night in Phoenix 2-1. So it's two games to one. They have game four tonight after our game.
You know, what's amazing to me about that, so the 10-0 loss in Philly, I have my in-laws, I have relatives in Philly. So they're big Philly fans. God bless them. And, you know, the thing that's interesting about that game is you knew that game was just totally lost when I think it was the seventh inning when they hit a pop-up on the infield and everyone just stood around and stared at it and just landed right in between the catcher, the third baseman, and the pitcher. And they just kind of laughed. You know, you could tell, like, everything that could go wrong for them went wrong. But I will be the first to say, I honestly thought after the first two games with the Phillies, I didn't think anybody was beating them. Like, they are destroying baseballs right now.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Diamondbacks were able to hold them down in a game to just one run and then win that thing going away, that was a very impressive win. I don't know if the Diamondbacks will get another win in this series. I hope they make it competitive. I hope they make it as long a series as possible. Ultimately, I think the Phillies are the better team, but, you know, kudos to the Diamondbacks, man. They really rallied and came back, and they have a lot of fight in them. It's a good team.
I think if it ends up being the Astros and the Phillies, it's not going to be the road teams are going to win every game. It's going to be tough to win over there. I don't remember what happened in the World Series, but that's a tough place to play.
Well, the Astros are great. I will say this. That might be true. But the Astros love going into hostile environments. They love it. It's like the drug. It's like, you know, it's like the movies where they get a drug and it suddenly turns them into like superheroes. Like, that is what the Astros become.
It's crazy. And
it's like limitless. That's what happens to them. They go to another city and suddenly everybody's screaming and throwing inflatable trash cans at them and they just go crazy. And that is something that is just, I don't know how you get that. I think that you're either born with it or it's forged over years of having to deal with it, but they are excellent at it. So I wouldn't put it past them to go into Philly and win.
Yeah.
But having said that, you've got to win at home sometime. I mean, they have a home field advantage for a reason.
Yeah, you have to.
You can't lose at home all the time. And the Astros have got to, they've got to break that mold at some point. And they have to do it in this series before they can get to the World Series.
I'm going to look it up. I can't remember how many games we won over there.
I think we win two?
We won.
I think we won game one. And my memory fails me, though, so I'm not.
They won game one in Houston. We won game two in Houston.
Right.
They won 7-0 in Philly. Then we won 5-0. And then we beat them 3-2.
Yeah,
we took two out of three in Philly.
Twice,
so we're not scared. No. I take that back, folks.
I ain't scared.
The worse it is, the better we do.
I'm telling you, I wish they could, like, and it's funny, too, because it's Philadelphia. You know, it's some of the craziest fans. I mean, they have to grease up the light poles after victories. You know, I mean, it's they're like, this is a crazy fan base. Like, you know, and it's like New York or any of those places. These people are nuts. The more nuts they are, it seems like the more the Astros thrive in that environment. Yeah. It reminds me, I told this story on a podcast a while back. It reminds me of Charles Barkley, you know, in the NBA years ago, when fans would scream and yell at him, he'd stand at the free throw line and just hold his hand to his ear. He loved it. Like, he loved it. He just ate it up. It was, and I feel like that's what the Astros is, fuel for them. They love being being the bad guys, I think. And it's hilarious too, considering they're not bad guys.
It's really weird that they can't get that same motivation from the crowd. I think they had 3 million fans. They probably have the third most fans in Major League Baseball this year. Yeah. It's just really weird.
It is weird. And I think you know, some of it might be just comfort of being at home. And so there's a general sort of, you know, maybe a little, just an ease where when they're on the road, they have, there's just a little more focus because there's not so much distraction around them. But I also think I kind of wonder if something's going on at Minute Maid, right? I kind of wonder if the sight lines are weird at Minute Maid or something, because this is the second or third season now in the last five or six where they have been better on the road. Now, obviously, this is much more pronounced than we've seen in years past. But in 2017, I mean, the sign-stealing year, they were a much better road team, you know, and they were getting benefit from the trash can.
Yeah.
So, you know, I you just have to wonder if, I don't know if it's maybe it's a comfort level, maybe it's something with the sight lines. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, they got to get better.
When they first talked about the Astros players having trouble with the batter's eye, the next day, the Padres, they scored like 11 runs. It's like, well, how come they can see the ball? I don't know. I have no idea.
Some of it, I do think there is that us against the world mentality that they do gather strength from that when they're on the road. I mean, there are certain places the Astros love to play. You know, they love to play in Seattle. They love to play in Arlington. They always have good games in Minnesota. Like they're a team that loves to be on the road, especially in specific venues. And so, you know, I mean, look, I'm no engineer or expert in stadia. However, if I were the Astros, I might just say, hey, see what these other guys are doing. And maybe we could do a few things sort of like, let's see if we could, I don't know what they could do, but I'm at least, as long as they got Towels Hill out of there, that's the most important thing they ever did, was remove Towels Hill from center field.
Earlier, you mentioned that the Astros like being the bad guys, even though they're not bad guys.
Yeah.
And I think like that has rubbed off on the fans, and other fans are like, I can't believe you embrace this. And it's like, after like 4 years of every time we win, we're cheating, and every time we lose, we can't win without cheating. Like, you just have to embrace that bad guy persona. Because like I said, I've been doing this TikTok, and I'm just doing, you know, just straight up, let me just tell you what happened in the game, and they just come at me. And now I've turned into this guy that I'm just trying to irritate the other teams. They've done this to me.
We've become a fan base of trolls. You know, I mean, that's really what's happening. Look, I think part of it is that if you're a fan of the, like, so I mentioned my in-law relative in Philadelphia. A few years ago, after the cheating scandal came out, I was up there visiting them on the, as they say, down the shore in Jersey. Mm-hmm. And the Astros came up. And they were like, well, they're cheaters and blah, blah, blah. And and I was like, yeah, okay. And they're like, how can you like accept the trophy? I'm like, oh, I sleep with it every night. Are you kidding me? Like there's a certain joy.
You turn into a bad guy wrestler.
You're a heel. All of a sudden you make a heel turn.
Yeah.
The heel turn is real. And so some of it too, though, for me is that the criticism is so outlandish at times. Listen, I will never sit here and say that the Astros didn't cheat. They clearly did, and they got busted.
Yeah.
It's like the old Damon Wayans routine. Like, my friend went to jail for something he didn't do. He didn't run fast enough. You know, the Astros got caught. So, fine. But taking it and going from there to Jose Altuve's wearing a buzzer, to all of these other conspiracy theory nonsense, that I don't have any time for. I'm like, you want to talk about the hitting the trash cans or whatever, using video, which a lot of other teams were already doing, fine. But you want to get into some weird conspiracy theories. And by the way, there's only three guys on this team that were here in 2017. It's just Verlander, Bregman, and Altuve.
There was 12 former 2017 Astros in the playoffs this year on other teams. 12. I think your volume turned off.
Oh, sorry about that.
I think you coughed it off there, buddy.
I did. you know, none of those, and by the way, none of those fan bases are out there booing their current players who happen to be former Astros.
That's what I mentioned. I was like, the Astros are going to go into Minnesota, and you're going to boo a guy that wanted nothing to do with it. And you're going to cheer Carlos Correa, who took full advantage of it. And Toronto, you're going to cheer George Springer, who took full advantage of it. Like
100%.
They're booing laundry.
It's fine. Go ahead. And I like, and honestly, I think it's good for Houston. Like, as someone who's a long, you know, lifelong Houstonian, Houston has always been a city of self-deprecation. We're a city that sort of thinks of itself as kind of like a not attractive sort of, we're like the, you know, we've always been that kind of city that had a little bit of a feeling like nobody liked us, you know, but there was a point, I think that started to change. And I think a lot of it started with Harvey. When Harvey happened and you saw how the city really rallied around each other, where we had to depend on ourselves because we clearly weren't getting help from the outside. When we started hearing the national narrative of like, why didn't you guys evacuate? I'm like, have you been to Houston? Do you know what that would take? And so, and I think what happened is there became an us against the world mentality that sort of changed and sort of hardened Houston's. There was a book that came out by this group. They did a photo book and it was called Houston, It's Worth It. And the whole point was it's worth the flooding and the roaches and the lack of scenery and whatever else. And I think that sort of is something that the city has embraced. And it's something we certainly have embraced with the Astros. It's like, yeah, okay, fine. Hate us. What do we care? Everybody else hates us anyway. So what the hell difference does it make? And I feel like that's a really, you know, Pittsburgh has had that attitude for many years, and they channeled it into the Steelers, you know, this tough guy, sort of, we don't care what you think kind of attitude. I feel like that's a good attitude for Houston to have, particularly when it comes to the Astros.
All right. This is usually the part in the podcast where I let my guest, whoever's with me, say whatever they want to say, your final thoughts for the day. Maybe tonight's game three, whatever you want. I mean, game five, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something I haven't told anybody yet. I will miss game five tonight because my wife, yes, ready for this one. My wife is the director of communications for the Houston Grand Opera, and it is their season opening night, and they're doing a world premiere opera that was been written about in like the New York Times and all this stuff. I don't care about opera really that much, but I will be going to the opera tonight. I have heard that at the Wortham Theater in Houston, in the intermissions, in the breaks, they will be posting the Astros score. And you can almost 100% guarantee that I will be doing everything in my power to sneak a look.
Do you have an Apple Watch?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Well, there you go. You get the alerts. That's what I do at work.
100%.
It's like I'm there.
Exactly. So, yes, I will be there in spirit. Now I will be writing about it for the Houston Press tomorrow. And I will rewatch the DVR probably at like midnight tonight. Hopefully not too drunkenly after a night of frivolity. But so I will be missing the live.
I bought quite a bit of alcoholic beverages for this weekend. So
listen, man, as soon as the opera is over, two of our friends who we haven't hung out with in a while, we're going to Warren's downtown. And anybody who knows Warren's will understand that is where drinkers go to drink.
There we go.
So it should be a fun night. And I'm hopeful for the Astros win. I'd love to see them come back to Houston with only needing one win to finish this off.
That would be awesome. All right, so that's all the time we have. The one thing I want to add, and I think I've said this before, there was a time that there's been times where there's no scoring for like eight innings, and you're thinking like maybe your Apple Watch isn't connected or anything, and there's no pitching changes. But anyway, it's game five today, folks, at 4:07. Happy birthday again to Evelyn. I hope you have a great day, and hopefully the Astros get you a win.
Amen.
Thanks for coming on, buddy. I appreciate it. And thanks to everyone out there for listening. We'll see you next time on Astros Baseball.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.